And welcoming back to the show, Kevin Goatee. How are you, sir?
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
Time to party.
Goddamn right.
Hear from Gutting the Sacred Cow.
Yes, sir.
We got B-movie expert Tressa Slater. How are you, ma'am?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I cannot complain. And if I do want to complain, I'm not going to put it on this episode, but it's really fucking funny. Okay, so Tressa Slater is from Asylum Case Studies podcast.
That is correct.
You are an expert on any of the Sharknados and other mockbusters.
I like to say that I know a lot about a lot of different things, and I am an expert at none of them. But I do love mockbusters very, very much.
It's amazing how all this means something, and at the same time, it kind of doesn't discern people, so it's just best to do a podcast about it.
Exactly.
Ramble on about it. I remember there was a quote by those Asylum guys, and they were like, "We don't want to do rip-offs of movies." And that was back in 1997.
Yeah, that was before they really started digging their heels into mockbusters.
Their success must have not turned out, and they realized, oh, I can do knockoffs of Matrix or Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, and someone's aunt or uncle from Tennessee is going to pick it up, and they're going to be like, take it back! Just take it back!
I think that Redbox came along, and they're like, oh, we can totally fool people with our fake titles and make a ton of money this way.
Oh, how dare you forget about the bargain bin at CVS or anything.
That's fair.
But that is a good question, though, because, like, so where do you guys, either you both think this is going, since everyone's, if we're not doing culture wars, then people are doing physical media versus streaming culture wars. This is like, so how is the mockbuster going to thrive now? How are you going to get ripped off now, or even get into a simple Tombstone versus Wyatt Earp or Olympus Has Fallen versus White House Down argument?
I mean, streaming isn't going to stop people getting fooled by mockbuster titles at all. I've had guests say, oh, I'm going to pick this movie because I've heard of this movie. And then they start to watch it and they realize, oh, I have never heard of this movie.
I fucked up. This is not the right movie.
Yeah.
Or they grab it and they think it's the porn version and go, oops, I guess I have to watch Deep Balls instead of Deep Impact or something like that.
Right. Like that one psych episode, Batman and Robin. Oop, wrong title, Sean.
My favorite, Eyewitness Nudes.
Yes.
Simple, yet comical.
Right. Simple is sometimes all it takes to fool any kind of dummy. So, and come on, there was Atlantic Rim as a Pacific.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, it's such a good one.
And where did that even air? Not that I'm going to watch it. I'm just curious to know where something that awful would air.
I assume that if they're not just straight to Netflix or Amazon Prime, they aired on Sci-Fi. They usually air on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't take much for anyone to pull Roger Corman and then, like, release a title under a different alias.
Right.
Although Roger Corman did make the Fantastic Four film. Let's not forget that.
No.
Yes, the best one.
I mean, they're all equally shitty, so I'm not going to try and pick Nat shit out of Pepper because they all stink.
They all stink, but I'm just saying I could get it through this one versus those other shit fests.
I didn't even see that newest one with Miles Teller because I value my time. I don't know about you, but I guess you don't value your time.
I don't value my time at all. No,
I don't think I would be able to survive without the fast forward button. So it just saves so much time if you can just see a cool looking shot and an otherwise just unwatchable piece of garbage. But yes, it is sometimes a chess game where you're just like, time, money, time, money.
Time, and I'll bail out. I don't know why you would fast forward. If you have to fast forward, then it's time to just press eject and be done. I don't understand that logic at all.
Is it going to get better?
No, it's not.
Well, yes, it does for me, because basically I watch the first 10 minutes, realize it's garbage, and I'm not going to survive the rest of this, but then I can say, I technically saw it.
Right. You're only lying to yourself. Who are you shitting?
I agree with both of you.
I wait for HBO every time. because if I'm in a theater, I'm held hostage and I have to sit through the whole mess.
You're not. You can walk out. We're in America. Is this Russia, Danny? We're not in Russia.
But then I've wasted my money. You see?
What's more important, your time or your money? You've already wasted money. The money's gone. Now, do you say, this is like, I don't know, I hate taking insurance and blackjack, but if you got a 20, and you're like a nice 20, like, I don't know, I think he may have 21, I don't know. You bet the insurance, I would walk out. I've walked out a few films. I have no problem walking out if it sucks. Then again, I don't think I don't make bad decisions that often where I am walking out that often, but I will leave because my time is more valuable. I'd rather waste 10 bucks in 30 minutes than 10 bucks in 2.5 hours.
Okay, so this is where...
Hold on, I gotta say something here. I 100% agree with you, but I sat through the entirety of Cats in a movie theater, and I feel like I have a deep-seated trauma from that. It hurt as I was watching it.
That's on you.
It is 100% on me. I wouldn't say nothing otherwise.
You paid to see Cats. You knew what you're getting into. It's not like you're like, I'm gonna go see Batman Forever, which fucking stinks. And then I didn't walk out of it. I'm saying I'm walking out of Batman Forever. Are you gonna walk? You need to walk and go, I don't know about it. It's me as good as one or two, and it stinks. You knew going in that Cats was an egregious panned piece of shit.
However, I love that kind of bullshit.
Okay, fair enough.
One was
I love making fun of it, but
yes,
no,
and this one was just trauma inducing. It was not even fun, and I love something that's so bad it's not even fun. No. But I do agree with you. It's all on me.
Well, the other problem is, again, you don't know it's going to suck until you're kind of living part of it. But yes, I do value both my time and my money. But I wait, again, for the cable TV because I'm not paying for each individual title. And again, I can skip it, turn it off after 50 minutes. The problem is if you're in the theater, you don't want anyone just saying, oh, you didn't actually see it, or technically, you know.
Oh, who gives a shit if they say that? What do you care? Is there a chalkboard with tally marks on it going, well, look at this jerk off of here. He's got 15 less titles to his credit, his letterbox ratings. Who fucking cares?
Well, Letterboxd.
There's no cash prize.
Letterboxd is the new IMDb, unfortunately. But yes, what I'm getting at is, put it this way. If you're reviewing it for your podcast, you're going to end up having to suffer through it again anyway.
Well, that's, and that's one thing we do too. We do sit through the entire film in the podcast because, goddammit, if you're going to choose it, I'm going to fillet. We sat through one of our guys, we had Jail Call then, who's fucking funny. He decided in his two appearances, he chose 2001 A Space Odyssey, clocking in at probably 2 hours and 45 minutes. Then this asshole doubles down and takes Lawrence of Arabia, which clocks in at almost 4 hours. So that son of a bitch made us sit through 6.5 hours plus of film. No, spoiler alert, they both stink. And yes, but I sat through them both. They're not good. They're not. Lawrence of Arabia is beautifully shot. No, it's beautifully shot, but it's boring. And it's very dusty. You're going to tell me you watch that on the rewatch it regularly? No, you're not.
Yes, I do.
No, you're not.
Every time
you're
it's
lying.
On,
you're
along with Die Hard. But yes, 2001, I had the...
You're going to compare that with Die Hard? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
It's not... No.
Excellent movies.
But... Tressa, what about you? Let's have a conversation amongst two sane people here.
Okay. But yes, I agree. 2001 is garbage. And I do like how I was at a film studies class and half the cast is really liking the part with, you know, the HAL 9000 computer, and the other people are preferring the drug-induced coma last 20 minutes. And
oh, with the baby in space, go fuck yourselves. You're just saying that because you want to seem smart. That's all.
Well, that's the other problem, and that's kind of where I am with the A24 shit, is like Midsommar, I'm sorry. That is a Manos cash-in.
I hated that movie.
And everyone is saying, you got to
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But it wasn't as bad as everyone says it was. I didn't despise it. I didn't like it. But I didn't curse its name.
It does have some good shots.
I've never heard anyone say they hate it. I feel like I'm the only person on Earth who hated Midsommar. And it's refreshing to hear. Thank you.
Oh, no. My co-host hates it. And we had a few people who wanted to do it on our podcast. And I said no, because no one's going to give a shit if someone takes apart Midsommar. No one's going to care. So
that is the other thing, because it's literally like a cult film, like the cult inside the movie. So it is kind of like one of those, just like, it's, and again, it is kind of one of those, you just have to
stop. I wouldn't call it a cult film. God damn it. Donnie Darko is a cult film, and it stinks, but it's a cult film nonetheless. Midsommar is not a cult film.
So why do you think Donnie Darko just took off? Because like, everyone likes to think.
Because people in the 2000s were dumb and wanted to have Y2K shit happen that's going to, you know, and wrap their arms around that. I rewatched it a few months ago. All right, did I ever see this again? And as soon as I remember Patrick Swayze getting busted with kiddie porn, I go, oh, I've seen this. And it's and yes. I rewatched it again and go, nope, not buying it. No, I am not. People here's loved it. People love that. People love Boondock Saints. And wow. Oh, watch our podcast. You'll see the reactions that we get.
Well, the other funny thing is how everyone's trying to do knockoffs of Guy Ritchie and Tarantino, even though they're all stealing from other people's movies too. So it's just
how about Guy Ritchie's trying to knock off from 1999 Guy Ritchie,
right?
Because he hasn't been good in a while.
Oh, he was never good.
Stop it. Lock, Stock is fucking great. Snatch is great. Everything else is up for debate. The Gentleman was okay. Wrath of Man was actually pretty decent. Pretty decent. Different. But you could say what you want to about everyone else, but Lock, Stock and Snatch are fucking solid. I will not endure this conversation. I will not. That's silly talk. It's good.
Well, this is all silly talk. This is film.
You're right. Wrong room. Whoops.
But hey, no, you've had wonderful guests on your podcast too. I don't know how you got Kendra Sutherland, but it's just so funny.
You guys rated
and you did a G-rated movie.
No, she chose the movie, and I never saw Land Before Time. That's like one kid, and I grew up in the 80s.
The Land Before Whatever Time is what I call it, because just like Puppet Master and Chucky, it keeps breeding.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the iterations, but yeah, I never saw that. And I go, this is a shit kid. I got to say, it's going to sound horrible, but if it ain't Disney, it ain't shit. Most like 90, I hate DreamWorks stuff. Shrek, I didn't care for it, but I get it. That's fine. But man,
well, that was before they sold out. So,
right. But all those other like American Tale, like I remember I saw in the theater, go, all right. I never saw the second one.
I saw what some other one too many times, and I was like, it's not
Five Goes West. Never saw it.
Yeah. I watch it.
But I mean, what else besides Land Before Time, other than like kids animated films that was not Disney? And I don't remember them any of them being good. Again, shout them out if you can pull them up. But
The direct to video Disney was pretty bad for the most part. But
I'm not counting that. I'm only talking theatrical release. I'm not counting Aladdin 3, where it's like the voice of fucking Potsy doing Aladdin or some shit like that.
Right, and then Robin Williams stops by for like 1 minute and utter bullshit.
Did you guys know, this is funny, did you know that Tom Hanks obviously did Woody in Toy Story? His brother does all the other knockoff shit.
Yes, for Woody. He does the toys,
he does the games. He might, if they have like, you know, the directed DVD stuff, he does those voices. But Tom Hanks like, nope, my brother does a good job and you can hire him for a 20th of the price.
He even does his running in all his movies. So there you go.
Oh, in Forrest Gump, that's right.
That's adorable.
Your least favorite movie, but sorry, but no.
Who's your least favorite? Your least favorite film is Forrest Gump.
I thought that was your least favorite.
Me?
Oh no, actually no, that was your favorite. I'm trying to remember.
I don't like it, but it's not my least favorite.
There's one podcast over it. Hates Forrest Gump. I don't know why.
That one is one of the most requested, even when we've done it already, is one of the most requested films that people want to try and take apart as Forrest Gump. It's already been done by people.
It's already been done. So
we did it like our first like three to six months out, someone came on and did it.
It is what it is. But I've noticed even more, like there's a bunch of animated movies that are coming out like every 6 months, and they got all these giant voice artists, and there's never on my DVR, there's never any plot description for it. It's basically just so the parents have something to shut their kids up with.
Rated G for general fuckery.
There you go. God damn.
Fern Gully. There's another one that I didn't remember seeing as a kid. I never saw it. I heard it's not good, but all right. I didn't look at it, just popped in my mind. I'm not cheating.
It didn't help that Avatar was a knockoff of it and no one cared.
Yeah. But the ride is dope as fuck. If you ever get the chance to go down to Disney World,
that ride is dope. What is
that? Dude, it's a VR thing where you just sit in there and you fly like you're on the back of one of those things. It is bonkers. I did it when it first came out. I waited 2 hours plus. I did it again, I don't know, 4 years ago. There's a beer place right down below. I had two beers. I had my earphones in and my phone. I was listening to a podcast and drank beer while waiting in line. That fucking ride slaps.
Wait, what was the ride? It was for
Avatar. Avatar. It's in Animal Kingdom in Disney World.
So it's more entertaining than Aliens versus Avatar.
I wasn't aware there was Aliens versus Avatar.
It's a terrible, unwatchable mockbuster made by student film equivalents. I'm surprised Tressa hasn't heard of it.
No, I haven't. I only pay attention to Asylum right now. My brain has shifted only to this studio, and I apologize.
Well, so speaking of versus matches, what should they do a stupid versus match of that everyone will see, regardless of it being fucked up and awful?
Will see voluntarily or thrust upon them involuntarily?
It can be your spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend invited you, or you're just like, that's just too stupid to pass up. I can't help myself.
Oh my God. A heads up fight I want to see.
Are we talking everything has to be in the same franchise? Because, I mean,
it doesn't have to be the same franchise. Okay. Let's say in a perfect world, two studios got desperate and wanted to split the bill.
Well, now I have to know what's going on in the world of movies outside of bullshit. It can be a Freddy versus
Jason stupid thing, or it can be Alien versus Predator. It can be, I don't know,
how about
Marvel versus DC.
PB Herman, Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay, so there you go.
You'll get the death.
And Pee Wee would curb stomp the shit out of him.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? He already ran him over with his bike 10 minutes ago.
All right, I got a three-way versus. We get Nobody, we get John Wick, and we get The Equalizer. One movie.
Yes.
Super.
I'm down with that.
Totally.
By the way, Nobody, so underrated. So underrated.
So underrated. It was
I
so
thought
good.
It got enough.
Loved it.
Didn't it make enough business and reviews?
I don't know.
I think they made it for nothing. I mean, what's Christopher Lloyd in charge for a three-day shoot? Probably $750,000 in a case of Cracker Jack? I don't know.
But, and Conan had Bob Odenkirk on, and he's like, I'm going to be the villain in your next movie.
Yeah, no, Nobody was great. I love it.
Okay.
Kevin's going to love this. SJWs versus Me Too.
Oh. And there's
this
one
would be a fun movie to get angry at.
Wait, and then it's in a warehouse, and the warehouse sets fire, and we all win.
The Kyles versus the Karens.
That's true. Let it all go up.
Let it all burn. Oh, God.
How about this? How about Batman versus Superman? Can we do that?
Oh!
That sounds terrible.
And you're ready for the end. Someone's gonna say Martha, and that's gonna send off a chain reaction. What do you think?
Wow,
so
that's
far?
Crazy. How would that even work?
Anyway. Well, you know, but you know, Bruce Wayne's mom was named Martha, and Superman's name. I know. No one's gonna pick up on that until we hit him in the nuts with a sledgehammer over that 15 times in the end.
That sounds fantastic. Same, let's do it.
Got the same.
Do I have a green light?
There has to be this great site that would basically take infamous movies and put all the bad reviews on the poster. they should totally, for the reissue of Batman versus Superman, put remember this got the same put this the, remember this got the same score as The Room, and you would still watch The Room five times over.
Spoons.
Oh.
How about Harvey Weinstein versus Roman Polanski? I want to see that.
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
Don't forget, you know why? Because there is no loser. Oh, you're right. So that's
then James Franco and Ron Jeremy got to be the referees.
What did Ron Jeremy
Yeah, but did, he was very...
You don't need to tell me. I get it.
Too late. Raped 80 women.
But did Franco... Listen, Franco, he wasn't above board. I'm just making sure that's crystal fucking clear here.
Oh, no, I knew he was a piece of shit. I just didn't know about Ron Jeremy.
I just didn't know he was in that level of scum that he needs to be thrown into the bottom feeder group. Like, yeah, he wasn't that good, but does he need to go down to general population kind of level of dirtbaggery? That's my question.
Franco?
Yeah.
Only Kevin Spacey versus James Franco will be able to determine this match.
Kevin Spacey is in that final rung of hell in Dante's Inferno. I can't co-sign that. Franco was bad, but is he that bad? That's my question. Like, who? He was bad, but not.
It's a good question because I don't know. It's like this just goes back to again, like with our movies, is like, are they the worst? The worst? Or are they just bad but not the worst? So I. That's a good question. I'm sure all these guys got way more skeletons in their closet that their attorneys pleaded to not introduce him to court. So I don't know.
You know who I'm sure is very happy they're still not doing work right now during this whole time is Bob Barker and Richard Dawson. Those two play they were the grandmasters of grab ass and cucking out guys' wives in the game show on TV.
I mean, that was part of their job. That was the job description.
Oh man!
Right.
They bang so many housewives from Madison, Wisconsin. It'll make your fucking head spin. How about Ray Combs, who killed himself by bashing his own head in with a rock, versus I don't know, who's another game show host that died? You have a very maniacal laugh, like the Joker almost, and like Mark Hamill's Joker laugh.
Oh, well.
Has anyone told you that?
I'm not sure if that's a compliment, but at least it's not Jared Leto's Joker, so that's good.
Oh, God. No, I'm not going to insult you. You invite us on our podcast, plus you like my show. Why would I insult you? No, I would not do that.
I can take it.
Well, find someone else to dish it, because I'm in a happy mood today.
Just mess with me. All right, so there's plenty of them out there.
How about Affleck versus Marky Mark Wahlberg, two Boston douchebags? Again, no one loses. We all win.
Well, technically we lose because we're wasting our time giving these assholes money.
Who's saying about giving them money?
Right. If we're watching the movie, we're just giving them money.
They'll do it for a box of Funkin' Dunkin' Donuts, all right, kid? Huh?
That'd be great.
You want a good laugh? I tell you, here's a drinking game. Every time you watch The Departed, you listen to one of those assholes say the word microprocessors, drink. That shit is funny.
I'd rather not. I'd rather watch the superior film Infernal Affairs.
It's come up in my queue. I'll get to it. Everyone says that's the must watch.
Yeah. Plus, DiCaprio, the best part is when he gets shot.
Stop it. Don't hate the Lord of Leonardo. He's just living the life that you and I ascertained to have.
I have zero jokes. I just can't get through unwatchable pieces of shit like The Revenant.
I didn't make it through that either, but doesn't mean he's not a great actor and also very entertaining in other films besides The Revenant.
I don't find
it. Wait, is that the bear one?
Yes, that's where the bear eats him or mauls him. And Some would say rape him.
Totally.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't help that he had to share the screen with Tom Hardy. So I'm surprised no one's done a mockbuster of that. They should totally have that. Bear rape.
Or some man versus bear.
Man, oh, it's gonna right. be a knockoff of man versus bear.
That sounds like a great gay porno that we're missing out on, folks.
Oh God!
Yeah, and it's gonna be all computer animated, and it's gonna look like
creators of South Park and Archer.
Yeah, oh. Gonna look like South Park.
Oh, man, bear pig versus Revenant.
Tessa, you may have seen this. It sounds like I just met you, but it sounds like this is kind of up your alley. Do you ever see a movie called Grizzly or Grizzly 2? Where it's a horror, like a horror film of a grizzly.
Oh, you have to have seen this, Tressa.
It's very bad, but you said before.
But I haven't.
Yeah, don't rush. And it's about a bear, murderous rampage bear. Surprise! I hate to really kind of tip my hand.
George Clooney and Laura Dern.
But exactly. So then the thing though is the bear when he would attack, it was about 17 to 35 cutaways while the bear would attack somebody. So if we to avoid CGI, like you had just stated, mm-hmm. this is the way, as the Mandalorian would say.
This is the way. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of random shots of the bear in different places flailing around, and cut together, so it looks like a fight.
It looks like a bear, and he's like on his hind leg, roar, and the claws are out, and the teeth are stripped, and someone goes, ah! And the next scene, the bear, roar! And the next scene, there's like scratch marks and blood coming out of the face. And the next scene, roar! And the next scene, the guy's curled up in the fetal position, missing a leg or something.
You've seen more chaotic attacks on Animal Planet. My God. Oh, God. Grizzly versus...
Timothy Chalamet. Done. Sign it up.
Damn.
I just keep winning arguments here today.
You are welcome to your own reality. But see, that's the fun of it. Oh, there you go. Reality versus opinions. Be a fun trivial movie.
That's called the internet.
Yeah, that's called Facebook and Twitter.
True, it's already been done.
Damn it. Right.
Rotten Tomatoes versus Metacritic.
I didn't know that they're beefing like the Sharks and the Jets. Did I miss something?
Way I just would find it entertaining just seeing how at the end of the day no one gives a shit what the critics think.
I did just cover, and it ended up being a two-parter because it was dense, Hansel versus Gretel. It wasn't good, but
so you don't say.
Yeah, why are they fighting again?
Oh, it's Hansel a whole thing with cookies? The first
what
one.
What happened here?
Like, Gretel turned into a witch at the first one. So, and then Hansel was a witch hunter, and it was.
Oh my god!
Yeah. This sounds like all sorts of fuckery. I want nothing to do with.
No, you do because it's awesome.
Really?
No,
no, don't make me.
No, awesomely bad. Oh god.
Yeah.
So what are the best movies that you've sent as a April Fool's gag to someone, knowing damn well they're going to hate the movie and you will just be laughing your way?
Oh, best or the worst movies I've done that for? Because there are no bests in this game. It's just you're going to love this.
Like,
no, you're not.
You dug it, but you knew they knowingly well they would hate it for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm not going to hang out with
those budget or low budget.
They're gonna love what I love, or they can get out of my face.
You already unfriended and blocked them. Perfect. Oh god, it's great.
Android Cop, that was a great movie. I hands down, I will say I think that's my favorite Mockbuster that I've seen.
Which one? Werewolf Cop?
Android Cop.
Let me
guess, is this circa 1987 RoboCop? Is that what we're looking at, or is this?
It was circa 2014 great. To match up with the remake of the 2014 RoboCop.
And I can bet that this film is already better than the 2014 version of RoboCop.
No, it wasn't.
100%.
No.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I will never watch a reboot of a film I thoroughly love, i.e. RoboCop, i.e. Point Break, i.e. Total Recall. I will never sully my mind with such shit. So I will take
What's
your
word
for it. Yeah, it was done right the first time. Right. Now, reboots when they're shitty, when the original film is terrible, i.e. Dread, because Judge Dread was a piece of shit.
Dread was great.
Fucking yes. A right it was.
Dread was excellent. The RoboCop remake was good because it found its own footing. It wasn't trying to remake the movie from point A to point B. And that's more than I can say about that awful Total Recall garbage where they couldn't decide if they wanted to be a different adaptation or what have you.
But well, you cannot go from, and this is my sequel theory. As you heard it on our podcast, sir, my sequel theory to Tarsa is quite simple. I know it's not a sequel, but it goes in the same kind of parallels.
It's one, better than the RoboCop sequels.
You cannot have the original as an R-rated and then go to a PG-13 for the sequel or a reboot. That's rule number one. Rule number two for the sequel theory, you cannot have more than 10 years elapsed from one installment to the other, especially one through two. All the steam is lost. Ideally, it's 3 to 5 years. That's the sequel theory.
What about Terminator 2? How
seven
do you
years.
Feel about
7 years? Love it.
Oh, was it seven?
84 to 91. Yep. So a little bit right there before the 10-year mark, though, but a perfect film.
Politely disagree, but I understand the logic. Young Guns
excuse
2
me,
was pretty
excuse
good.
Me. You cannot tell me that Terminator 2 is not perfect because that's shit.
Either way, everyone thought it was going to suck, and it was great. But I'm just saying.
Who said Terminator 2 was going to suck? Terminator 1 was amazing. So how could you think that by any means?
The first one got lukewarm reviews at the time, but was very well liked by the audience.
And when do you base your opinion on what critics have to say? Please say little or never.
At the time, it was a gamble, but they are good movies. Just saying. It depends.
James Cameron doesn't make bad movies until he did Avatar. So I'll he's
and
on
Titanic.
That. I mean, it made a fucking $2 billion.
I know, but when do we care when they make
all right, but okay, but to my point, James Cameron from 84, I forgot, was Terminator his first film, if not, correct me. Let's just call it for argument's sake it is. From 84 to 97 when Titanic came out, that's 13 years. He did Terminator 1, he did Terminator 2, he did True Lies, he did Aliens. Right then and there, kids, that's a pretty goddamn powerful four horsemen in my book. And I know I didn't like The Abyss. I'll go out and say that. I'm trying to think what else he did. Yeah, didn't get that at
the
all.
The ripoffs are very worth seeing.
They are. Agreed.
Leviathan and all those other movies.
And Terminator 2, I love that movie. I don't think I saw anything after that from James Cameron. I never saw Titanic. I never
True
saw...
True Lies?
Nope. Never
wow.
saw...
good.
And the best part about James is he made some of the best Roger Corman movies. Android has wonderful set designs.
Nice. I just like to have those movies in my head that I haven't seen with my own plots because they're fun that way.
Yes.
I forgot Alita Battle Angel. He also did that.
I'm sure he forgot it too, because Robert Rodriguez fucked it up.
He also wrote Rambo First Blood Part 2.
But he ignored his script, unfortunately. Daniel Stallone.
No, we did this on our film podcast. Thank God he did, because he wrote him a fucking sidekick, a dude sidekick, who was supposed to be John Travolta.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, so there you go. Yeah, that would have been rough.
I stand by the original Rambo 2, so the second. The
I love it either way. I'm just, I figured he was just writing more action-adventure segments. I did not know he made that fucked up decision.
Google has Solaris on here. Did he write Solaris? I hope
producer.
Not. Very boring.
Yep.
Very boring.
Dark Angel was a good show.
I didn't catch it. He also Escape from New York. What do you do with that? Is he producer on that as well?
He designed the iconic set designs, like the cities are actually paintings that he did.
Nice. And,
without it, the movie's so different. So definitely as much his movie as it is Carpenter's.
Snake yes. Plissken versus Jack Burton. Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh, that's nice.
Depends.
I'm team Jack Burton through and through. Nah, it's not even close, my book.
Either way, Kurt Russell wins. So.
I mean, I love Kurt. I'm quite the Kurt Russell fan, as you've known by our podcast. So yes,
yep.
not a far hill, not a bridge too far for me.
Well, I think you guys have pretty much summed up a lot of the missed opportunities.
You know, if Hollywood would come calling, Tressa and Kevin, sounds like a good ring to me. How about you?
Tressa and there. Kevin.
Lock it up.
Live in
Lock
concert.
It up. How about the battle of the scores? As in, you know, we could have John Williams versus Hans Zimmer.
There you go. Michael Giacchino versus Mark Mancina. There you go.
That's the B squad, my friend. I'm going to keep it A-level here. Carpenter's another one.
So good.
And I'm missing another key one too.
Yeah, what's his name, the German guy?
Hans Zimmer, I said.
No, the other one.
Oh,
that's in my head that I can't think of his name.
Let's just say Alexander Desplat.
What films has he done, do you recall?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, Danny Elfman, come on, how did I forget that one?
Boinga boinga, I mean, baby.
Batman, Pee Wee, Big Fish. He did a lot. He's on the second rung for me.
Spider-Man, my dude.
No one watches Spider-Man and knows this is the score. I got to call you on that.
I do. That score is great.
I'm sure that I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not saying it's iconic. Like these other films that these other guys have done.
I've seen
like
people reuse it for live events and everything. It's a pretty iconic score.
Do they play the Nickelback song too from Spider-Man?
No, because they got good taste.
What a joke that was.
Not who I was thinking of, but what about Vangelis?
That would be fun. Vangelis intriguing. Versus Tangerine Dream.
Oh yeah.
Tangerine Dream from Risky Business.
No.
From Risky specifically?
People know him from Sorcerer, my god, my dude.
I know from Risky Business. That's a catchy ass tune that plays throughout Risky Business.
Dude, get out more.
I mean, Risky Business is a quality film,
it's a good movie, but they aren't known for that. For all these other
I don't know what Sorcerer is. What is this?
William Friedkin's
The Sorcerer
adventure film.
When did it come out?
This came out after Exorcist. Oh my god.
Not on my radar. Not the
just because it's not on your radar doesn't mean it's not great.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'll pose a question on fucking Gutting the Sacred Cow stuff and say, hey, does anyone diehard fans or very familiar with it? Because I whiffed on that. I wasn't a fan of like that whole, I didn't think The Exorcist was that good. Again, I mean, I saw that to the fact, but.
Well, because French Connection's the better movie, but that's okay.
Well, no one's going to argue that. No,
The Exorcist
that.
Free and the show are great.
Yeah, I think that I saw The Exorcist too late in life, and it was just, meh, it's all right, I guess.
I mean, my mother, so I'll date myself. My mother said, it doesn't add, I guess it was out then too. My mother said when she was pregnant with me, that was in the theater. She was, I didn't want to see it when I was pregnant with you because I didn't want any kind of, you know, issues because being from too scared.
She was like, part of the fear-monger, brainwashed generation.
And I watched it. I mean, I saw it, I don't know. Let's say I was 13, 15, somewhere in there. I go, this? This is what people were fucking clutching their pearls at, is a girl calling the devil, is calling someone a cunt and spewing fucking pea soup everywhere and her head twisting. This is what people were. Nightmare on Elm Street, man, that'll scare the shit out of you long before this did, as well as, you know, Nightmare, the first Halloween. Sorry. Not buying it.
It was nothing. By the time I saw it,
and the people who are hyping it up, they went to the movies when they were too young, so of course it scared them, and then they're just feeding off the nostalgia. So it's just like, yeah, but when you're a sane adult who's actually old enough to watch this, is this going to scare you? No.
Well, I mean, the bar was low in the 70s. I mean, Amityville Horror is another one. People go, oh my lord. Okay, it's a true story. God. But then you watch it, like, this is like low-level shit. Again, we saw it at way after the fact, but we'll account for that.
And we're not woke or religiously influenced in any way, shape, or form.
Was there woke stuff in Amityville Horror?
I'm just making fun of the whole just predicament of just we're not reawakened or... You know, insisting that we go to church and pray. No. We keep movies separate from, you know, reality.
Sane people do. Sane people do. Insane people don't. Read the Amazon one-star reviews as we do in our podcast.
Yes, the best part.
And I love when people give a movie a one-star review because someone said, God damn it, they lost their shit and go, well, Back to the Future. They use the Lord's name in vain. One star. What? That's a perfect film. Fuck you.
Well, no, I'm going to stroke your ego here, my man.
Thank you.
Putting the Sacred Cow versus How Did This Get Made?
We're better than them by far. It's not even close.
Well, I was going to say that because you bothered to actually watch all the goddamn movies. I heard their Highlander 2 review. I was like, how did you not see Highlander 1 before you did this fucking movie? You have all the free time in the world. You guys haven't been acting in a while.
They were so good. No, Paul does stuff. They were. I love them, and then they went off a cliff. I couldn't listen to them anymore. I couldn't do it.
What was the end game for you?
Them?
Yeah.
They got too much politics in it, and it just got way too much white guilt. I'm like, shut up. We want you to talk about films. That's it. We're here to talk about films, and that's it. And how you feel is your own business. Stop with the every single week, and I tapped out. June is insufferable. Jason is the best by far. He carries the shit out of that show. It is not. Paul is just such, and his laugh annoys me. His laugh is such a pussy laugh. I can't stand it. June's annoying and whining, and their guests, a lot of their guests are a lot of improv people, and the improv people, they scream the punchline, and I fucking hate that. As a stand-up comic, I know it's like Hatfields and McCoys, but I hate that. Focus on the host. They lost me with all their bullshit and their
and they don't do agendas. Don't do their research. It's just like if you're just reading off the research off IMDb. God damn it, we already know this. Your producers are supposed to find new solid facts that you're supposed to address.
Is that what we're supposed to do? Because I do not do that.
Well, but they're a big, giant show with a budget, so I expect better.
Yeah, I do my show without a budget. I at least have 5 fun facts.
And you, again, your show writes itself because you're prepared. You have all this nostalgia and other factoids you remember growing up, so you've lived the movie before you've
been. We're taping in 30 minutes. I have 10 pages of notes on Batman next week.
I'm telling you, dude, you have it all memorized by heart. No need.
These jokes, believe me, I always bring out those jokes and other shit and facts. No, you think I memorize this stuff? You're insane. No way.
But you could.
But thank you for the compliment.
You technically could.
I have 2 shows a week to tape. I cannot memorize 2 shows worth of notes and facts and shit like that. And Amazon 5-star reviews? No. I thoroughly appreciate your compliments. They strike my fancy. But I wish I could take the credit, but I can't and I won't. But thank you.
I'm glad you're honest, but I'm just saying you do more than you realize you do.
Thank you. So now I'll take a bow for that. You're goddamn right. I think.
And yes, Tressa, I have heard your show, and it is good in that, once again, you're just finding just insane stuff about this wacky movies and having fun making fun of these.
I mean, I don't do anything is the thing. I just watch the movie and it just presents itself.
It writes itself, but your reactions really are just genuine and great. And other I've seen other people take on bad movies and they're more whiny than the awful characters in the movies, to where it's like, please, I'm tapping out. This is no fun.
It is a very fine line to do that. I completely
agree.
Don't be
the John Connors or Anakin Skywalkers of your damn movie. Please shut up.
But I don't want to go to best. What was that line he said in episode 2 where he threw a fit?
I don't want to listen to
it.
Yeah.
About the Jedi Council. I go, oh, God damn. By the way, episode two, it's bad. The first half is terrible. The second half, not that bad.
I was disappointed in theaters. It's like, it without that second half, this movie is dog.
Oh, it was as bad as one. I mean, again, we all saw episode one, like, oh, it's pretty good. Then you watch it again, you're like, ah. You watch it the third time, you go, oh. And the fourth time, you're like, God, I fucking hate this.
I can watch them all except for Abrams' dog shit.
What? All of them. No, I can't. I can't do one, and I can't do. I refuse to do nine. Nine, I'm in the theater, openly going, "Oh, this is bullshit!" Like I was so angry with nine. The preview came out. I wasn't even excited for it. I was so like, "I'll see it," but I don't have much high hopes for it. It was so. Terrible.
But the problem is, I will watch any Star Wars knockoff any day over Star Wars, just because Star Wars, you know, just without Mando, it's just the franchise was already dead. You know, it just. And why do you have to rip off the Dark Empire comic books and then kill it out of the canon?
They should have just taken the Timothy Zahn books and just started it off there with 7, 8, and 9, and everyone would have been fucking happy.
Damn you, Kathleen Kennedy, and all these other pricks.
So, I'm sorry, I don't do Star Wars. I'm so sorry.
I watched
the first sequel in the movie, and I was like, no, I'm done now.
Jesse, you're doing it ass backwards.
No, I mean, I saw the first three that were
okay.
But the first prequel in the theater,
bad.
Fuck, it killed me. I was done.
It's all good.
I'll tell you what, go. You want, I'll give you two.
And by the way, fuck you, Bill Cosby.
God.
Going on a limb there, are you, pal?
I'm sorry. I got to just throw all these pricks off the cliff.
I work in the city, in New York City. I'll handle this, thank you. And he had a hoodie on. That said, stop crime. I go, I wanted to stop. I had to be somewhere. Otherwise, I would have decided to have a discussion. Go, well, then you become a cop. Or, yay, hero, good for you. Stating that, stop crime, good for
what
you.
What a bold statement he was making.
Well, on a limb. Listen, zero opposition on that. Stop crime. That's cool. You know, stop. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to get into it. But it was just the
Let it out.
No, I'm done. No, believe me, I'm done.
Okay, save it for your next stand-up act.
Yeah. Tressie, do you comedy?
Yeah, I haven't done it since last June, but I'm doing another fest in LA again, but I haven't done it. I got to get back out into mics and stuff.
I'll write some comedy, but I prevent people
from... I didn't ask you.
Well, that's fine. I prevent the world from seeing my damn face. So
that's right. You do have your camera off. Why is that?
First off, my camera always acts up and has more bloopers than the internet. But yeah, no, you don't need
good
to
save. Good save.
Curly hair face.
We could wear a burqa. Could wear a mask from Mission Impossible like Tom Cruise and just peel it off at the end of every episode.
I don't want to look like the ugliest Scientologist on the planet.
Oh.
Is he the ugliest, though, really?
Yeah, you're right.
Tom Hanks?
It's John Travolta. Tom Hanks is the Scientologist.
Oh, that's right.
Is Tom Hanks... Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is not a Scientologist. Is John Travolta ugly? No, we can't. We can't say that. That's the case.
I mean, no. Maybe I mean, if you're, no.
I mean, he's not the guy who played Sherman in American Pie ugly, and that's for sure, if you think that he's ugly.
Well, all I know is they got Scientology blood. Whatever their steroids or other induced stuff they're putting in themselves, they're not really human either. So,
They drink the blood of runaway teens? That's how they maintain their looks, guys.
Everybody knows that. Duh.
I mean,
if it's not J-Lo.
I don't want to say it, but I decided to say it for the listeners. I know you two, in titans of industry, know that, but not the audience.
That's right. True. That's what Will Smith was really trying to whack off various people's faces.
Oh.
You didn't see him whacking people in the face?
He's doing what? Whacking off on people's faces?
No, whacking people in the face. Oh, my God. What a terrible image. Goddamn.
No, he's doing that while Jada's getting fucked. That's what his thing on the side of.
Next.
And Chris Rock is just deciding, maybe I should just hang it up.
Yeah, he's doing anything but that.
I already did a terrible Saw movie, and I said some more unfunny humor. Yeah, I'm good.
Chris Rock, I forgot he was in that Saw movie that I didn't see.
It wasn't that bad.
It was pretty funny. Funny.
Because he said motherfucker a lot, is that why? And Sam Jackson
No, just the whole, just various, oh my God, we're not sure.
It overall wasn't that bad. Like, again, it wasn't good, but it wasn't that bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was so bad it's good kind of movie. It was just a fun go that trashy far. Movie. Especially
fun,
when
I'll buy that. That'll buy. Fun, trashy, yes. I will buy
it. The lieutenant is like, I'm on your side. It just felt like three different movies all in one. That's torture porn for you. So. What do you know?
Tressa looks like you're writing a grocery list out right now.
I need a pen paper at all times.
Either way,
quart of milk, sick of bread, sick of butter, mm-hmm. and a loaf of bread.
If mm-hmm. either of you come up with a movie, I will gladly help crowdfund it.
We just did seven of them. Were you fucking listening?
I know, but I'm going to let you guys do the hard part and I'll just answer.
You were just talking about how that one movie was like three different movies or whatever. Okay. I don't see movies until it's way too late. So I just saw District 9 like last weekend.
Holy shit.
That movie was like 10 different fucking movies and they were all great. What was that? Sorry.
Some people can handle it, others can't.
It's all next week on Tessa's schedule, Avatar.
Nope, never.
Oh, Jesus. Next week with Tessa is RoboCop. Ooh. Die Hard 3.
I heard they made a Die remake, Hard. So I'm real excited.
Rambo 5. Why bother?
Rambo, John Rambo, the last one where he was playing Home Alone. John
Rambo. Newest one where basically my daughter's been kidnapped by rapist drug cartel guys and I'm going to somehow blow up my own goddamn house. Last Blood.
It wasn't good.
Oh, God. It was something. And I see other people saying the plot was so original. I'm like, this is like Death Wish 1 through 5.
It was Home Alone.
Home Alone meets Death
Wish. It literally was Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Without him, you know, sloping down an icy staircase or being set. I mean, they were set fire to. I take that back.
Fire.
Or that stuff. Yeah, he.
That's kind of how Nobody ended as well. As a Home Alone parody.
At least you remember Nobody for the right.
Fair. Reasons. Fair point.
And I'm I was not more excited.
No, not me neither. I was excited to see Doc Brown with a shotgun wasting motherfuckers. That put a smile on my face.
Fantastic.
He's defending those DeLoreans, man. That's what he should have done to the terrorists in the first place.
Hey, Bob Odenkirk, throw me a shotgun because I'm going to go and drop a bolt of lightning on their asses.
There clang. You go. I love that Die Hard 3 throwback. Show a lightning bolt up your ass.
I was going to the Back to the Future reference, but okay.
I couldn't help myself. Oh, God. Thank you all for being on here. We're for all the dumbasses out there. Can they find your podcast?
They're not dumbasses. They're your fans. Never besmirch your fans.
I don't know that they're their fans. They could be watching this because they see you guys are tagged in here. Anyway,
ladies first, please, Tressa.
You can find The Asylum Case Studies just about anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find me and you can find those at asylumpod.com, which will basically just take you to my link tree. That's where you find me.
The good old Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast, guttingthesacredcow.com. You can find us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google, whatever, YouTube. Guttingthesacredcow.com is all that. Gutting the Sacred Cow, we invite our guests to pick a film they find overrated or hate and try and convince us to see their argument. But here is the twist. The film must meet one of these criteria, widely beloved, critically acclaimed, or financial success. So no coming on and thinking you can dunk on Friday the 13th, Part 8. We all know it's a glorified piece of shit. We give a platform to people with unpopular opinions and see if they can defend it. Sometimes we agree with them. Sometimes we don't.
The best part is when you sound like you're going to agree, and of course then you're like, close but no cigar.
We do a Columbo, and just one more thing.
Nice.
Sometimes I like to think we don't tip our hand unless it's a blatant one that we've said before in many episodes past that we love, and then we just go guns fucking blazing on them. But yeah. I like to think we have a good poker face and whatnot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think. Thank you.
Thank you all. This was a great round of just bullshitting for a minute and then talking about some other things wrong with Hollywood.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Zero political correctness. There you go.
Yep. Good. Fantastic.
keep roasting them. If not deep frying.
Is that like your version of smoke them if you got them?
Sure.
It is now.
And pending, Tressa, we better back the fuck off.
I'm going to write that down and mail it to myself now.
That's how much you're in love with yourself.
No reminder in calendar.
Yeah, this was comedy gold.
No arguments here. Thank you.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.